Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Athletic.
All right, Reds, Tony Evans here, but walk on, your Liverpool podcast from The Athletic. Well, the Klopp era ends, and not with a bang, with a whimper. But talks are continuing over Jürgen's possible replacement. We're back sooner than we expected to discuss the developments around Arne Slot, who's been made the number one candidate to replace Jürgen at Anfield. We're to digest and dissect the news. We have James Pearce and Simon Hughes. And on a depressing post-derby morning, we'll start with those three words. And Si, I'm going to throw it to you again because, you know, I don't know.
End the season.
It has ended, hasn't it? I mean, oh, it's awful. No, you know, I mean,
that needs no explanation, does it, Tony?
No. James.
A grim finale.
It is. Well, hopefully, you know what? There's still the best part of a month left, isn't there? Hopefully we'll see a bit of the old Klopp verve from the team in the coming weeks. And let's see what they're saying over on the Walk On Podcast Facebook group. Kieran Taylor, that's that then. Jane Stacey with a whimper. Hamza Mohammed, a sad ending. Karen A. Welsh, broken my heart.
To join our community of listeners on Facebook, just search Walk On Podcast and join the group.
I really feel for the people. I'm really sorry for that, obviously. That's how it is. People told me so often about the great record and before the derby, especially where you're here, but you never win here, and all these kind of things, but we never lost, and that feels really different. I really apologize for that. It absolutely was unnecessary, but it happened.
Oh, come on, let's not be too down. It's only football, isn't it? I, you know, Jürgen's apologized, and I mean... James, it's the first defeat at Goodison since Roy Hodgson. It almost feels as depressing as the Roy one.
Yeah, probably worse in a lot of ways because back then it wasn't that much of a shock, was it? Because that was the Liverpool lineup, including Paul Konchesky, Kyriakos, Joe Cole. I think he brought on David Ngoe and Milan Jovanovic on that occasion. And the club was in absolute chaos, I think. What was most galling about watching events unfold at Goodison on Wednesday night was that, you know, that was supposed to be a Liverpool team that was in a serious title fight and was going to Goodison, you know, looking to make a statement and crank up the pressure on Arsenal and City and taking care of their own business and hoping that they get a favour from elsewhere. But it was just a million miles off it, wasn't it? And it was just a really sad way when you think of the so many incredible memories Klopp has given us from the derbies over the years. I think, you know, what his only defeat in the previous 18 meetings had been behind closed doors at Anfield during the pandemic. And you think of those, you know, dramatic late winners from Sadio Mane and Divock Origi and, you know, Curtis Jones's winner in the FA Cup tie. You know, to go out like that, I'd say it's probably one of the most gut-wrenching lows in terms of a league result in his tenure, because especially when you factor in, you know, the mess that Everton have been in this season. And, Liverpool were just lacking in all departments.
Si, what did you make of it? You know, I mean, again, the front three misfiring really badly.
Well, I thought it was an atrocious performance, I've got to be honest. Given the context and what was still up for grabs, it reminded me a lot of many of the Everton performances at Anfield over the last 10 years. In lots of ways, only Everton, the gulf between Everton and Liverpool obviously isn't as vast in terms of the quality when it's been the other way around, but Everton were worthy winners. I think it could have been more, really. I agree that Liverpool's finishing was poor. I know they scored a lot of goals, Liverpool, but I'd have to go look at the data, but it seems like they miss a lot of chances every game. maybe it would have been different. If you get a goal and turn the pressure back onto Everton, perhaps it could have been different. But, you know, is anybody really that surprised that Darwin Núñez couldn't finish his dinner? You know, it's just a recurring theme, isn't it? You know, mate, there needs to be some balance about the conversation with him, I think, because he seems to be dividing people now. He's either, yeah, the main man, best player. We'll sing Núñez, even after, you know, he's slashed one wide as he did at Fulham. Or, you know, you think he's the worst player in the world. I mean, the reality is he's obviously a handful, but his finishing's just not good enough. It hasn't been for each of the last two seasons. Seems to rely a lot on confidence. His confidence seems to have dissipated the last couple of days. He's not, or the last couple of weeks, he's not responsible for the Liverpool defeat. But it's fair to say that, you know, if he scores, then maybe it's a slightly different outcome.
James, is it going too far to say that was a symptom, a reflection? It kind of explains why Klopp needs to step down. You know, a tired manager who was unable to inspire his team at a time when you think inspiration would have been the easiest thing?
Yeah, I think there's a whole host of factors into what's gone wrong over the past 6 weeks. I think you're right to a degree in terms of, I think, you know, for so long we've talked about in the Klopp era, the team resembling their manager in a positive way in terms of everything that's best about Klopp is there for all to see. The mentality monsters tag, if you like. And, you know, he said himself, didn't he? He's walking away next month because he's ran out of energy. And that feels like almost the way you could sum up his team as well. I think whether there's some fatigue there, you know, due to just how demanding this brand of football is. I don't think you can understate either the kind of emotional fatigue side of things in terms of, you know, Liverpool have gone to the well so many times in recent months in terms of digging results out. I mean, they've had so few wins that you would say, do you know what? Yeah, they played with a real swagger there and won it with a bit of class and with something to spare. Even when they've been on winning runs, it's been dramatic and really energy sapping. The slightly ironic thing is the season has gone off the rails at a point where the injury situation has actually started to clear up. If you were going to pinpoint an area when a time when you thought things would go so badly awry, it probably would have been, you know, around the Carabao Cup final and those weeks that followed when he was having to turn to the kids on a regular basis. But what we have seen as well, and I think Salah's the perfect example of that, is trying to get someone back up to speed when they've had, you know, a pretty bad injury mid-season, who's certainly not used to that because he's been a, you know, an absolute pale shadow of the player we've come to expect. And, you know, as Simon said as well, you know, Núñez's downturn in the last few months, I think, you know, he's fired blanks in eight of his last nine appearances for Liverpool, Núñez. I think Salah's only got two in his last seven and they were both penalties. Certainly at Goodison, I thought, you know, Luis Diaz was pretty much ploughing a lone furrow in terms of causing Everton anything resembling a problem. That has hurt Liverpool, especially when you throw in, you know, Diogo Jota's injury issues.
And Si, that's once and for all, the title race is over for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Arsenal have got a points advantage and a goals advantage. City got two games in hand. From here, I'd expect both teams to win the games. I would say Arsenal, despite going out of the Champions League in a disappointing way, obviously responded with an excellent win over Chelsea the other day. City, you know what they're like when it comes to this. There's only one game, really, where they might slip up Tottenham. But yeah, there's way too much to do for Liverpool now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have your say and get involved by emailing walk-on at theathletic.com.
Well, there's always next year, and with a new manager, Arnie Slot. James, did you see this coming?
No, I'd be a liar if I said I did. No, he's certainly not been one of the names that's featured heavily in the conversations up to the early part of this week. But yeah, he is the man that Michael Edwards and Richard Hughes have decided ticks all the boxes that they're looking at in terms of Klopp's successor. I think, you know, as we talked about earlier on in the week on the podcast, you know, our information was they'd gone pretty cold on Ruben Amorim. And certainly off the back of that, they've made the move for Slot, open negotiations with Feyenoord. You know, I'd imagine it will be a pretty quickly moving situation because, you know, you don't open negotiations with a club unless you've already got pretty concrete guarantees that Slot wants the job. The first offer in €9 million was rejected in terms of compensation, as he's got 2 years left on his contract and no release clause. I think Feyenoord had been holding out for nearer €15 million, but yeah, I'd imagine a compromise will be reached and you know, fully expect now Slot to become the next Liverpool manager.
Si, I'd like to see the working out on this, that he's the best man for the job, because we're told they've done an exhaustive search and, you know, they had Spearman looking at the various contenders for it. And it's taken now until, what, late April to get to the man. And are we sure he's the best man, or is he just... some of the others have dropped out and want the job, and yeah, here we are with them.
Well, I'm not sure. And that is just mainly because, you know, the step up from Feyenoord to Liverpool is considerable. I think every Dutch player and manager who steps up into the Premier League faces the same challenge. Somebody put it to me the other day, you know, that if a Dutch player is being compared to a Premier League player as potential targets, and the centre forwards, the Dutch player really has to have scored 15 to 20 goals more than the established Premier League player to be able to hang your hat on, you know, that player. Now, I know it's obviously a manager that they've hired, but that's the environment that Arne Slot's working in. Do we call him Arnie, by the way? Was it Arnie or Arne?
I think it's Arne.
Arne. Arnie sounds better, though, doesn't it?
It sounds way better, if you ask me.
Yeah. So, right, okay. I'll flip between both. So, I must say, I mean, when Liverpool were looking for a new manager, we've discussed it before, but there's certain criteria that you've got to look at. And he does fulfil one criteria, I would say, one significant one, which is, you know, hauling a team above a competitor with far greater resources. I think you can say that. And that's no mean feat, really. Then your fact, I mean, I think the talk around the style of football is overrated, personally. I just think that Liverpool fans, certainly match-going fans, just want to see wins. History's proven that. You know, you go through, yeah, obviously the Klopp, certainly the first 3 or 4 years of the Klopp period was the sort of football that people can definitely get behind, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it didn't matter when Rafa was... sort of being cautious and, well, it did matter to some, I must say, you know, like some of his cautions did matter, but when they won, he left as an overridingly popular manager, I would say. Same with Julio, you know, and he certainly wasn't an expansive manager. I realised that was 20 years ago and sort of people's appetites have changed, but what can be most influential, I would say, is the reaction of the crowd inside the ground, and Liverpool fans will back a winning team. It doesn't matter what the style is. So I think that is a bit overrated in the conversation. Where I do have some sympathy with them is that, you know, there isn't an obvious candidate. It's not like when they brought Klopp in. Part of the problem, I guess, is, you know, Michael Edwards, you know, doesn't have Jürgen Klopp standing beside him anymore, does he? So Liverpool as a place doesn't seem as attractive, potentially, as it once did. So I don't think it's quite as straightforward as people might think, but I would classify it as an interesting appointment, albeit one that could go either way.
Well, let's get the view from the Netherlands on Slot. Here's Sjaap Muso from the Dutch newspaper AD on what Liverpool can expect.
Arne did a brilliant job at Feyenoord. You have to realise that when he arrived in 2021, there was no money at all. The club is way behind PSV and Ajax in every kind of way. And Arne changed that within a few months. He had pretty average players, but played on the attack from the start. He played pressing football. He played attacking football. Arne was very popular from the beginning because he's a great communicator. So the fans loved him. And in his second year, again with a small budget, he did extremely well by winning the title, which was very impressive because, well, that they were by far the best team in the competition that year. In Holland, everybody's quite convinced that this is the best young coach in the Netherlands by far, in the way he plays football, the way he communicates with players, the way he communicates with the press. He's a modern coach. His vision is very clear. He's very much into details. He's a bit like a control freak. I know Arne for quite a while. I used to play against him when he was very young. We are from the same age. I think he was about 8 years old. Arne is always always easy to approach, always calm, intelligent, friendly, easygoing. I think Liverpool did a fine job to contact him. I think he proved very clearly that he's a special manager. He speaks fluent English as well, so communication won't be a problem at all with the players at Liverpool. I've no doubts at all about his qualities, and nobody in Holland has. Every other club, especially at Ajax and PSV, even their fans, they were extremely jealous about the way Arne worked at Feyenoord, and he was always mentioned as the perfect Ajax coach because the way he plays with Feyenoord, that's the way Ajax wants to play. So he totally changed the hierarchy of Dutch football within a few years, which is very, very impressive because he didn't have the budget, he didn't have the top quality players, but he made a great team and he built a great team every year. So yeah, hope he will do good at Anfield, and I'm going to follow him closely, I think.
Well, that clears one thing up at Arne. I mean, that's a ringing endorsement. I suppose we have to be caveated a little bit, James, in that, you know, obviously he's known him a long time, the mates, and, you know, you're not going to sound like mates. You're not going to come on, walk on and say, nah, he's terrible. But it just sounds as if there's a little bit of the Klopp swagger about him. I mean, if we take it at face value.
Yeah, I think as we've discussed a few times since Klopp made his announcement, it just feels like where things are at in terms of the cycle of managers, that there just wasn't one out there, was there, that I think would be universally welcomed and would be looked upon as some kind of, you know, shoo-in in terms of leading Liverpool to the heights that they want to get to. There just isn't a Klopp type candidate from 2015, someone who'd, you know, had a huge amount of European experience, had won titles in major leagues, and, you know, even, you know, you think of Benitez off the back of the success that he'd enjoyed in Spain. It just felt like whoever Liverpool went for out of the array of candidates that have been assessed would be a gamble, and you would be taking a punt on someone who hasn't done it previously at the absolute top level. And I can understand some of the reservations because, of course, you know, probably because of what has happened with Ten Hag, I guess, in a way, because Ten Hag had, you know, he came from Ajax, didn't he? And, you know, had, you know, it was like, this guy's, you know, an absolute, you know, transformative coach, and you look at him and how out of his depth he looks at Manchester United. But I think it's important not to, like, you can't use that as to make some sweeping judgment, because to be honest, the more I've read about Slot and the more I've spoken to people about Slot, and I had a chat yesterday with Dirk Kuyt, who obviously knows him well, having, you know, he's a Feyenoord legend, Kuyt, and he spent a week shadowing Slot last year at their training ground. And again, you know, he only had positive things to say. And when you look at the criteria Liverpool were assessing, you know, in terms of a playing style that's not too far removed from the current one, because, you know, it has to be a style that suits the current crop of players. And you know, you talk, you know, people keep saying, you know, this attacking brand of football that Slot plays, and you know, the pressing game, the high defensive line, how he's developed young players, you know, doing it on a relatively modest budget, certainly compared to the likes of PSV and Ajax domestically, and also his communication skills and, you know, his fluent English. He conducts all his meetings at Feyenoord in English. One of the biggest things as well was going to be Liverpool had to find someone who had the personality to really embrace following in Klopp's footsteps. The last thing you needed is someone who, you know, almost felt like it was almost, you know, be daunted by the challenge. You've got to think, well, why can't I go in there and build on what Klopp has achieved and create my own slice of history? And, you know, he's had big offers previously, hasn't he? You know, Tottenham obviously tried to get him and, you know, last year, and he ended up staying put and signing a new contract. But clearly this time around, you know, he's decided that Liverpool is just too big a job to say no to.
Si, how much say he's going to have over recruitment, players coming in and out?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, that, because I've heard contrasting reports out of Holland in that he didn't, some people say he didn't have a great deal to do with the transfer policy of the club. And then a few others suggesting that, you know, he would have liked certainly a bit more involvement on that side of things. That said, I think it's clearly worked for Feyenoord. I know they didn't win the league this year, but they did win the cup. So, and off the back of winning the league, they sold two of the best players last summer. I think it's Kukuchu to Benfica, who was like one of the central, you know, performers in the team that won the league. And then Polish player Szymanski, who I think was on loan. He ends up going to Fenerbahce. He's given, the other thing I think that is quite important is he's given young players a chance, which is obviously always a big thing in Holland. I think any club, any big Dutch club who isn't given Dutch players out of the academies a chance, it isn't properly doing his job, really, because the league and the team survive by that turnover of players. So I know that left-back, whose name I find impossible to pronounce, has done very, very well. And a couple of other players as well. Quentin Timber, who is Jurrien Timber's brother, very good player in the middle of the midfield, who he's under his management, has become a very, you know, very good player. So, yeah, I think a lot of his focus seems to be on the training field and planning, as James said, you know, he's, and Jord said, seems to be a man on the small details. But it will be interesting to see, because Liverpool, I would say, needs a few changes. I think last night was evidence of that. Whether he can get more out of a few players whose legs certainly seem very tired at the end of the season, I think would fairly lead to questions whether they do need to be replaced, certainly in the next 12 months. They're going to need to do a bit of business this summer. Richard Hughes will certainly be at the centre of that. But how much involvement Arne Slot has, it will be fascinating to find out. In fact, Tony, that's one of the things I really need to do.
You're listening to Walk On, brought to you by The Athletic.
Here we're going to bring in Andy Jones, who's been assigned to watching Feyenoord matches on a loop over the past, 36 hours. No sleep, not even a break to watch the derby. Well, actually, that's wrong, but he wishes he hadn't taken a break to watch the derby. So, Andy, come on, you've been watching them. Tell us about Slot Ball.
I wish that was the case. Well, I think it'd be a lot. Well, from what I watched, it was a lot more exciting than the performance Liverpool put out yesterday. It's interesting actually, because there's certain similarities to sort of the way Klopp operates, but then differences as well. The first is sort of the system. Now there's a sort of a 4-2-3-1, which Slot usually uses, which can sort of look a bit 4-3-3 at times, but essentially, the build-up is very much around a double pivot, which is a little bit different to Liverpool's build-up. And I think there's certain players that might suit that a bit better than others. I think Ibrahim Konate initially comes to mind as someone who you would need to see improvements with on the ball. And I think last night was a clear evidence of that. And he seems to have lost a fair bit of confidence in possession. But it also it did strike me a little bit when I was watching through, is that whether, and this is a bigger conversation and a different one, but about Trent's role, about whether he could be part of that double pivot straight away. And he effectively has become that from his inverted role at the moment. And then moving through the pitch, it's more of a number 10 than sort of the Liverpool 2-8s, if you like. And he wants a flexible front three. He likes a ball carrying left winger who you can come inside and you sort of look at Luis Diaz and that's exactly what he is really. And Cody Gakpo's similar. And on the right, a little bit different in that he wants his right winger to drift in a little bit and almost become a second number 10. So when you look at Salah, who's certainly in the piece that I wrote with Mark Carey, you know, his ball carrying ability is, you know, decreased dramatically and his take on success that might, you know, suit him a little bit better if he's not, you know, needing to beat his man all the time. But I think the main thing as well is the variety of it. Slot really likes Guardiola and De Zerbi, but it's not it's all short passes. It's got to be a certain way. You know, he wants it varied. It's not always progressive up the field. It can be, can you go long? And then off the ball, the similarities to Klopp are all there in that he wants a high intensity in the press, but also his defensive numbers at Feyenoord this season are a top five in a top seven European league. So you would like to think that you'd see a little bit less of the questionable defending we've seen in recent weeks from Liverpool.
Yeah, well, it sounds as if we're not going to see too much difference, James. You see the club doing a lot of business in the summer, bringing people in, Michael Edwards and Richard Hughes going mad in the market.
No, I don't think it'll be a case of going mad in the market. It will be intriguing to see just how much ambition is shown and how much money is available. I think that's unclear at the moment. But yeah, there's no doubt that changes are required. He's got some big, big decisions to make, Slot, if as expected that contract gets signed and sealed. You know, I think in all departments, really. I think you look at the top end of the pitch and, you know, you'd probably say at Christmas, I'd have said giving Salah an extension was a no-brainer. Now you'd have to question whether that would be a smart use of funds when you look at his struggles since coming back from that hamstring injury. You know, do Liverpool need a new number nine? That's another thing that I think will have to be discussed between Slot and Edwards and Hughes, because, you know, can Darwin Nunez really take Liverpool where they need to be? Because despite flashes of brilliance from him and, you know, on the face of it, well, I think, what is it, 18 goals in all comps, 13 assists this season, that on the face of it is respectable. But when you think of how many chances have been squandered and the damage that's done to Liverpool's hopes of silverware, you know, it's, you have to put it in context. And then, you know, midfield wise, you know, Slot, can he get Szoboszlai back to where he was in the first few months of the season, you know, where he looked like, you know, he looked like a potential PFA player of the year in the autumn. And now, you know, you'd say he's not really deserving of a place in the starting lineup. His contribution has waned so much. So, you know, there's a lot of young talent there. There's a lot to be positive about in terms of what he's inheriting. You know, when you think of, you know, Dans and Bobby Clark and McConnell and Bradley, the youngsters we've seen break through, Kwanzaa, you know, been an absolute revelation. But then, you know, even at centre-half, you think, you know, Andy mentions Konate there, but it's like, I think his form has fallen off a cliff as well, and he misses so much football. Do you almost have to, you know, look to recruit in that area as well? So, yeah, there's a lot to sort out. But style-wise, I think, you know, continuity is certainly one of the attractions for Liverpool in terms of going for Slot.
Let's turn round the recruitment thing a bit, Si. And, okay, you're one of the three players out of contract, or yep, all three players out of contract. You can be a split personality here, you know, out of contract next summer. You're Salah, Van Dijk and Trent. Do you look at Slot and say, yeah, I want to stay?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there are some experienced managers available. We spoke briefly a few weeks ago, didn't we, about Thomas Tuchel. Now, he's obviously going to be available. He succeeded Klopp before. He's a big name manager, sort of manager who, despite his reputation, I know he's sort of loved and hated in equal measure, but I think he's the sort of manager, you know, elite players would want to play for. He might have come in and shone briefly and then burnt and fallen out with everybody. That's sort of been a bit of a pattern of his career. But the reality is that beyond him, there aren't a whole host of elite managers that players are just going to say, yeah, I want to play for him straight away. So I do think early impressions will count. I think he'll have to make you know, good impressions. That's assuming, of course, that Liverpool want to keep all the players. I suspect that maybe at least one of them might move on. I mean, you're asking the wrong person, Tony, because I'm not an elite footballer, really. But I would.
That's not true.
Yeah. I wouldn't describe.
Don't put yourself down.
Yeah, very decidedly below average.
All right then. I'll ask an elite footballer. Andy, what's your view on it? You know, after watching all that, if you're one of those players and you take a look at, you know, those final games, do you go, yeah, you know what? This fella, he's all right. I'll stay with him.
There's a lot of like about Slot, and I think his training methods are praised, and which is, I think, is important because you need players to enjoy doing the hard graft, if you like, during the week. Obviously, the games are the prize at the end, but you can't be going in, and if training sessions are boring and players aren't really having you, then that's not good. But I think Slot, he's good in that aspect, or he certainly has been at Feyenoord. And I think the system is exciting. It's attacking football. It's what you'd want to play in. That's the key. The problem is, there's so many factors to consider. Does Slot think that Mo Salah's suited to his system? You would think so because of how good Mo Salah is, but if Slot thinks there's a player out there who's better suited, and given the situation of, you know, of the contract situation and Mo Salah's significant dip in form at the minute, you know, Van Dijk's become captain of the football club, you would think that would make him want to stick around. But there's so many different things that play into it, but it's a system, and it's a manager seemingly who, you know, players, maybe not, it's not that Klopp type level of once he picks up the phone, then there's no one else you're going to consider type thing, which is what we've heard down the years from certain signings. But I think it's the brand of football that players should enjoy playing in. Playing for Liverpool has been a bit of a joy under Klopp. Not all the time. But most of the time, when it's going well, who wouldn't want to play in that team? And I think Slot's got that type of style anyway. Whether it works is a different question. It's not as if Mourinho's coming in and suddenly you're going to be a defensive right-back who's not allowed over the halfway, if you'd sense, for example. You know, it's not like it's a significant change of style which would make you rethink things.
James, this obviously is the first big moment for Edwards and Hughes. They've got to do this deal, haven't they, now? It's been so public. If this one falls apart, it would be a very bad look.
Yeah. I think it would be once you've kind of shown your hand, haven't you, in terms of this is the man. I think initially, of course, the focus was solely on Xabi Alonso. And I think the way that Xabi Alonso kind of made that decision, it was, you know, there was certainly no egg on the face there, because Liverpool had been told all the way along that Alonso's stance was that he wasn't looking to move on. And then he just, you know, kind of cemented that thinking. And then the process moves on and people, you know, obviously desperate to kind of attach themselves to who's the front runner. And to be fair, you know, I think as we've talked about quite a few times, you know, despite all the noise around Amorim, you know, I never got the impression of people at Liverpool that they'd suddenly gone, you know, he is the man. It was like, well, of course he's under consideration because, you know, when you look at his body of work at Sporting Lisbon, he'd have to be considered. But they were adamant that they were still doing their due diligence on a host of candidates. So, I think the fact that, you know, they have decided that Slot is the one, and of course he clearly wants the job. I get the impression as well that I don't really see how Feyenoord can stand in his way when you look at the loyalty shown them previously. You know, and they're not stupid, are they? They know that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. You know, I'm sure when he was starting out in management at AZ Alkmaar, you know, the bright lights of Anfield seemed a million miles away. So, I would expect the deal to happen. And then it's going to be intriguing to see how many staff from Feyenoord he brings with him as well, because, you know, that's the other thing that's probably gone under the radar a little bit. You know, there's a whole host of staff that need to be recruited to fill the backroom roles because so many people are leaving with Klopp.
Yeah. Well, before we go, let's just do a little poll. Let's say, are we excited, underwhelmed, or sitting on the fence to wait and see? I'll start with you, Andy.
I think I'm sitting on the fence. I have to be. I'm excited in the sense of now I've watched this style. It should be exciting to watch. You know, if he does come in, it should be a team that continues to follow the trend of you wanting to go and watch them every week. Now, I don't really want to watch Liverpool for the rest of the season after yesterday. But watching Slot style, it's the type of football that you want to watch. It's not going away from what Liverpool's values have almost become under Klopp. So it's exciting from that point, but I think there's a lot of question marks about his experience, and he's not manager of the top five league yet. And
that sounds to me as if you're sitting on the fence, even on this question. You know, it's even in answering the question.
I've given you somewhat of a bit of excitement. So in terms of what I've watched, it should be exciting.
I'm going to put you down as excited. Yeah, Si?
Well, I'm actually cautiously optimistic.
Was that an option?
Well, listen, we're making this up as we go along. Anything's an option.
Oh, well, I'm optimistic. I think it's a strange time, isn't it, to be discussing it, because the season hasn't finished, and only until last night, really. You know, some of the biggest, well, one of the biggest prizes remained. So I think it's hard to get really excited about a new era when the previous one still hasn't finished. And, you know, it feels like it's going to be a big farewell, doesn't it? I mean, as you know, Tony, I'm not a big fan of these big farewells.
Do you get too emotional?
Quite the opposite, James.
No, I'm a bit like, as soon as they decide to leave Liverpool, I'm like, don't let the door bruise your backside on the way out.
Wow, that's heartless.
He's decided to leave, yes, though, hasn't he? He's decided to leave.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
I sort of think, anyway, I'm quite optimistic. I've just been listening to him a little bit, and I quite like the cut of his jib, Tony.
So, all right, we've got two, we'll say cautiously optimistic, which is the new category. James!
I'm excited, Tony, for the simple reason that without hope, what do we have?
Yeah, and that's a great way to end the podcast. I suppose I better say what I think, hadn't I? I'm going to sit on the fence. I'm less concerned about Slot and his credentials as I am about how the new Edwards Hughes axis will work. I guess it's a case of wait and see on that. But, you know, whenever a season ends, and it hasn't ended yet, and a new season begins, you've got to be optimistic. Otherwise, why bother with football? You're just being Evertonian. Actually, shouldn't slag them off on a morning like this, should I? They beat us. So let's say congratulations to our blue friends. And honestly, I mean that sincerely, really. That's all for Walk On, your Liverpool podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Thanks to James, Simon and Andy for joining me, and you for listening in. See you next week.
The Athletic.